It's a privilege to serve in a church that has so many able men who can minister and minister ably in the Word of God. And I appreciate Brother Pickett. He's going to preach for me tonight. And you open your hearts and your Bibles as he comes and opens the Word of God for us.
Thank you, Pastor. Titus chapter 3, please. If you take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 3, we'll begin at verse 3 and we'll read through verse 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let's take a moment and pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, again we thank You again for Your love, for Your goodness towards us. As we look to Your Word this morning, this evening, Lord, I ask that You would bless Your Word, that You would fill me now with Your Holy Spirit and empower me, that what is said would be right and pleasing in Your sight and would give glory to Your holy name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Titus chapter 3 and verses 3 through 7 talks about the abundance of life because of the goodness of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we as Christians, as members of the human race, are apt to complain about life just as anyone else in the world would. We all wish things would and could be easier and that life would be better. Many of us forget or we take for granted the fact that we are saved and that life is tremendous when we realize how good God has been towards us. And also when we realize the possibilities of the sin and the sorrow that we may have experienced, except for the grace of God that He saved us. In these verses, Paul reminds us of the sinful condition from which we've been salvaged. And he emphasizes the transforming effect of God's kindness in the life of a Christian. These verses show us the contrast between what we once were and what grace has done for us. Back in 1978, I remember when my dad bought a new Chrysler LeBaron station wagon with the wood panels. And boy, my brother and I were really, really pleased. It had velvet seats and, you know. But one of the things it had was an 8-track cassette player. And we had a Bill Gaither Trio tape that included the song, "I'm Not What I Want to Be, I'm Not What I Ought to Be, But Thank God I'm Not What I Was." And I can't help but think about that song tonight. That's a truth that every Christian should rejoice in, because there should be strong motivation for us to live a godly life. The motive, first and foremost, from our past life, what we've been saved from. And also the motive of our present salvation, what our good God has done for us. In verse 3, we see the foes of abundant life. Verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." The first foe is man's sinfulness. When we recall what we too once were, the Bible says, we have reason to be gentle and loving towards the unsaved. We must never forget from what we have been saved. Instead of being what God wants us to be, remember, everyone in this room, even if you were saved a long, long time ago, we were once the opposite. Look what verse 3 says what we were. We were senseless. We were senseless. We were foolish instead of sensible. And that word foolish means without understanding or lacking in spiritual discernment. It shows the inner spiritual condition apart from God. Because of sin, man's mind has been perverted. And they don't think in alignment with what God's holy word says. Secondly, we were stubborn. We were disobedient instead of submissive. This shows the attitude of being impersuasible and uncompliant towards God and towards God's law. And isn't that true of the unsaved? You cannot persuade them. God has to do the work in their lives. Even as we witness to those folks that are unsaved, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will do His work. Because to persuade an unsaved mind is an impossible task. God has to do the work. Thirdly, we were seduced. The Bible says we were deceived. We were led astray and we were wandering from the path of truth by false religious systems. And also, the Bible says, our own lusts. We were also slaves. The Bible says that we were serving diverse and various lusts and pleasures instead of the self-disciplined life and being ready for every good work as God calls us to be. We were controlled by lusts and pleasures. And the unsaved today are controlled by their lusts and pleasures. They allow them, those lusts, to dictate their will. They have become slaves to them. The life of pleasure is shown to really be a life of slavery. And of course, in our society today, the one that's very apparent is the life of pleasure. The one who gets involved with alcoholism or drug abuse and addiction. And then, of course, the person becomes a slave to that. In verse 3, we also see that we were selfish. We were living in malice and envy rather than being peaceable, being considerate, and being humble. They were spending their lives in malice. And the word malice in this verse has to do with an evil attitude of mind which evidenced itself in ill will and a desire to injure someone else. Maybe you've been a victim of malicious words or malicious actions. Also, we see the word envy. Envy has to do with, in this verse, holding a grudge against somebody else's good fortune or God's blessing upon them. Lastly, it says that we were spiteful. We were hating and hating one another. And you know, the natural lovelessness of the unsaved man causes repulsion and antagonism towards each other. And Romans chapter 1, and because of time we won't go there this evening, but Romans chapter 1, and you know the end of the chapter, it gives us the same picture. The painful truth that apart from God, man degenerates into utter wickedness. Now, let me say this. Not all unsaved people manifest these qualities to the same extent. But Romans chapter 1 is a picture of what the depraved nature naturally leads to. I quote the commentator, "Sin blunts the mind," the word foolish, "perverts the heart and will," the words disobedience or going astray, "stimulates carnal desires, lusts and pleasures, and encourages the growth of all forms of selfish feeling and living, malice, envy, and hate." Secondly, in verses 4 through 6, let's consider the foundation of abundant life. And of course, the foundation of abundant life is God's goodness. What we have become gives us a strong motive for Christian living. The change, of course, though, is due entirely on God's salvation being freely bestowed on you and I as His children. We see in verse 4 the appearance of God's goodness. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." This is the source of salvation. It started with the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love toward mankind, you and I. Man is the recipient of His kindness, of this wonderful gift of salvation. What man could in no way do, God did for him. The kindness of God, of course, refers to His graciousness, His goodness, which is ever ready to bestow that blessing and forgiveness. His love toward us, that word there, in reflection to man, is philanthropia, which of course we get the word philanthropy from. It shows God's pity and His love towards all men, seeking their good and their benefit. Although God hates the sinner's sin, we know God loves the sinner and He desires to save him. The words here "hath appear" in the end of verse 4. It implies that these desires of God were always there before the foundation of the world. But they received a clear manifestation in the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse 5, we see the achievement of God's goodness. The achievement of God's goodness. What did God achieve for you and I? He saved us. This is the basis of salvation. He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. God saved us. This saving act, of course, is a completed fact. Us there in this verse refers to all who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's a present possession of all those who have believed in Jesus Christ by faith. We're saved because of God's kindness, because of God's love, because of God's mercy, not because of anything we've done ourselves. We're not saved by our own works because we are unable to do anything. Nothing in our own part merited our salvation. But of course, the verse says, according to His mercy, He saved us. Salvation's work lies in God and God alone. The mercy of God, His self-moved compassion for men, even though it was totally undeserved, it originated and caused our salvation. So God alone is responsible for the work of salvation. And we should all rejoice in that fact. The dual means of grace, the two ways by which our grace is obtained. How did God accomplish that? Well, we see here in the verse, by the washing of regeneration. And that refers to the rebirth of a soul. It's spoken of in context here as a cleansing from the filth of sin, and that washing and cleaning. And also it says renewing of the Holy Ghost. Renewal by the Holy Spirit. Of course, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, many of you have that verse committed to memory. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The renewing work of the Spirit began at regeneration. It is a new state of things. It's a new birth. But it's a continuing experience, of course, in the life of a believer. Because the Holy Spirit's work continues in each of our hearts as we progress by faith. In verse 6, we can observe the abundance of God's goodness. The abundance of God's goodness, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is the means of salvation. God poured out the Holy Spirit generously through Christ our Savior. God made ample provision for all the world. Christ can save all, as many as come to Him. Whosoever will may come. There's no limited atonement. It's abundant. If people do not experience renewal, spiritual renewal or salvation, it is not because Jesus Christ does not or cannot save. It is simply because they choose not to offer His gift of salvation. And you know what? The choice is yours tonight. If you're not saved and you're here tonight, please choose to accept His gift of salvation. The Holy Spirit is given to each believer at the point of personal salvation. And the Holy Spirit's presence is secured for us, for you and I as Christians, through Jesus Christ our Savior, as the verse says in verse 6. Verse 7. We can observe the fruit of abundant life. The fruit of abundant life. What's the fruit of abundant life? Well, in this verse, I think we can see the fruit of abundant life is heaven's richness. We possess two things as a result of salvation. First of all, we have a new position. We have a new position. We've been justified by His grace. Justification has to do with the idea that we're no longer estranged from God. When we were saved, we were justified. We were declared righteous. We were given the standing before God as just. And because of that, you and I are brought into God's favor. Justification is an act of God's grace because of His free, unmerited favor. He stooped down willingly and gave us that grace. It's bestowed on us because of our union with Christ through saving faith. And we have a new position. We have a new standing before God. That is, you and I as Christians have been declared righteous. And what a blessing to consider that tonight. Secondly, we don't just have a new position, we also have a new prosperity. That we should be made heirs. We've been made heirs. It's not merely a future hope, but it's a present reality. The aim, of course, that we may become heirs, it hasn't been achieved yet. Okay, Paul is not talking of the future, but he's talking about present condition of believers. We are presently heirs of eternal life, but right now we're heirs in hope because we're not yet in actual possession since we still live here on the earth. We'll not experience this inheritance until we meet the Lord. You know that an heir, and only an heir, has hope of something. Like, you know, I think of Dr. Harper and, you know, being a medical doctor. You know, I don't have any hope of all the money he has stowed away. I'm not going to be an heir, right? But you know what? Everyone who is a physical heir is aware of one fact, and that is death is necessary. So remember this, as we go through that process, as we go from physical life to eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's the hope of eternal life. This fact of being an heir is in total agreement with our hope of eternal life. Eternal life is ours now, but its consummation, of course, awaits the time when we'll meet the Lord. But you know, you and I don't have any worry here because, of course, what God in His grace has begun, God in His grace will see to the end. He will do that. He's ever interceding on our behalf, and God always delivers on His promises. In conclusion tonight, it's wise for us to consider that and what, I guess, we once were, and what salvation has done for us. Because you and I were salvaged from a dreadful condition. We were under Satan's dominion. We were destined to hell. And instead of the Christ-like people that we're now trying to become, we were once the opposite. The Word of God says that we were foolish instead of wise, that we were disobedient instead of obedient, because we were enslaved and deceived by sin instead of being enlightened and unshackled and freed by the power of God to break the chains of sin in our lives. We were characterized by being selfish and spiteful instead of being selfless, giving, and loving. But you know, the sad part about that is, that's the sad existence of people apart from the Lord. Except for the grace of God, we would be in the exact same place. Without that abundant, blessed, and eternal life. So I encourage you tonight, even as we, as Pastor comes to the communion service, make a special effort to thank and praise God for the glorious, for the wonderful salvation that He's provided each and every one of us. He's provided us with abundance of life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And the abundant life that we have received has been provided by God's goodness, not through anything we've done. And now we enjoy the fruit and the rewards of God's goodness as we live with Him. And again, tonight, if you haven't partaken of this abundant life, receive it tonight. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your goodness and for Your great love towards us. We thank You for the wonderful salvation that You provided. We thank You for Your love. And we praise Your holy name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Kirk, for bringing us the Word of God tonight, a challenge from God's Word. We do have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. And now, as we come to the communion time, it's a time for us to remember specifically what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us as we take the elements of the bread representing His body and the juice representing His blood. As we get ready for that, let's sing the first two verses of number 314. Number 314, the deacons who are serving tonight, if you will make your way as we sing. Let's stand together, please. 314. Atonement by my Lord,
Scripture says they sang a hymn and went out, but as they went out different from they came in. So I trust as we go and we go about our daily activities throughout these next 168 hours till we meet again next Sunday night, that we'll walk in the remembrance of the wondrous gift that was given us by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you. Baby does, and
would the baby sick
or no, just fussy at night sometimes. It takes a little bit of attention.
Oh, so. Yes, I know that.
And so, Princess,
yeah, you have a nice 3 days before we see you again, don't you?
I will do my very best, and you behave yourself for 3 days right in a row.
Well, that's not easy, you know.
Well, I understand that, but do your very best, okay?
Yes, sir.
In Mother Day books, Nan wants them.
They're all gone.
They're all gone?
All gone.
It's a marvelous service.
It was.
Praise the good Lord.
You did a great job. I appreciate that. Glad to help. Great truths in that scripture.
Yeah, this great verse. I'm only, I like the common ones.
Sister and her mom out this morning. It's good you invited me.
Yep.
Good evening, sir. Ladies.
Good night.
Good evening. Good evening. Catching up with your parents.
Unclean.
What?
Unclean.
Catching
yes.
up with your parents tonight?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good on.
I'll come with an answer probably next week about August.
Okay.
But it's most likely August.
Okay.
Okay?
Whatever works best for you.
Okay.
How are you today?
Okay.
Your hands are cold.
Yeah, they're always cold.
Oh. You hold your sister's hands, they're cold. Yours are warm.
Hold my hand.
There you go. That's good. That's
good. Bless you.
Yes. Hello there, so good to see you. You got a new boss there.
Oh, yeah.
you should have gone down. You should have booked a flight. Well, she liked it down there. She's been there before.
She's never been there before.
Was there?
Best friend has seen her.
Oh, yeah. Did she go down by herself?
No, she was down
with her
best friend.
Well, that's good. I've heard it's very nice. As long as you stay in the resort area, it's pretty nice. I got friends from Marystown that they go down quite often. They go down with suitcases and bring nothing with them. They give away everything that they take down. They take a suitcase full of pencils and crayons and coloring books, for, you know, because the maids up there, you know, they have little kids. And one time he came back without his shoes. Because the taxi driver didn't have shoes. So he gave him his shoes and wore slippers.
Wore slippers. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So it seems kind of strange
you'll
take a moment for dinner today.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
I'm sure I'll hear back when she gets back on Tuesday to New Brunswick.
Yes, I'm sure you will. So I'll tell you, you owe me a dinner.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. No doubt. I hope you
will see you. Baby. Baby, you like it. Baby.
Have you got an extra little pink book that she can give to her mommy?
I have.
They're all gone.
All gone. That's right.
I didn't
somebody
take
took,
one.
Somebody took one. Send it off to other people.
No, I, yes, that's me. But I didn't take one because I gave Raina mine. Yep. I sent it to her.
No, you know, I got 40 of them. I thought that was mine.
Yeah. I just think I can give them to my mommy.
You can ask how much they are, and they're down there in the welcome center. Good evening.
Good evening.
Have a good week.
Oh,
ask Carla about them.
I will.
Do you want me, need me in July? For VBS?
Whatever, you know, if you're available, an extra body goes helpful. But, you know, I expect like last year, I expect to have between 25 and 40, and with 5 or 6, you know, pretty much corral that.
I applied for the marking board, that's early July.
Yeah.
And Ali and I would really like to do a week away, it's our 25th.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to like coordinate things and stuff, so I'm not sure what the best dates will be and stuff, but I want to try to
but
be here if
know,
I
don't,
can.
Don't let that, you know, it's more important for you to go away than your life.
It is,
yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I enjoy working with the kids,
yeah.
But if you have enough help, sign for somebody else to serve,
yeah.
And I'm working with them all year.
Yeah, very well.
Okay. All right, thanks.
I know. Is that something else?
Boy, I'll tell you. A champion.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I'm proud of you. Good to see you, Carol. Thanks so much for coming. I comb it and comb it, but it's curly. It's just, it's, you know.
And it's thick. And it's thick hair, too.
Yeah.
Hair. Right?
Yeah.
Nice.
My mother had a full head of hair. She had chemotherapy. And didn't lose her hair. And she, her hair, mine's like this. Mm-hmm.
clearly going silver green.
Well, now I know where the baby. I mean, he's got his full head. First picture I saw.
Yeah, babies normally are bald.
I know.
Or little. Or hairs on the chest. Yeah.
He's got to. What Amy just sort of said, because the baby, you know, babies have that hair down their arms and hair on their back. Or
yes.
Oh, this is disgusting. He's got hair on his back.
Yeah.
It's okay. It'll fall out. It'll be always fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it was really good to see you here this morning. But I thought you were still down in.
Oh no, I wouldn't be gone on Mother's Day.
Right?
No.
So I was like, oh yes.
Hello, how are you?
He's in the nice.
Carl's a champion.
Yes. Yeah.
He is.
Wow.
You just start cheering for the right hockey team. How come the Canadians aren't in the playoffs? I'm asking. I don't know. You know. No, I'm a little concerned. You haven't got any Canadian teams in the playoffs.
You want to go for that?
All those Americans.
I go for Tampa Bay.
San Jose?
Oh, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, they don't even have ice down there. They skate on rollerblades down there instead of ice. It's too hot. They can't get any ice down there. I'm telling you. So Tampa Bay's your team now. Just for the playoffs. Next year you'll be back with the Canadians, right? Okay. Okay, as long as we got that straightened out.